The Kawhi Leonard era in San Antonio has officially come to an end. Welcome to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I am Jeff Garcia, your host for today's episode, and I'll be joined by Joe Garcia momentarily. You heard it right. The San Antonio Spurs and Kawhi Leonard have officially parted ways. It took nearly an entire season and then some, but after reports flying left and right that he wants out of San Antonio, that he is done being a Spur, looks like that finally happened. And by the way, no, he did not get traded to Los Angeles. I think some Spurs fans may like that as well, considering they thought that he shouldn't be, complaining and demanding where he should be sent. But nevertheless, the Spurs and Raptors have completed a deal. This is reported by ESPN. The deal will send Kawhi Leonard to Toronto, along with, brace yourself, longtime Spur Danny Green, in exchange for DeMar DeRozan. Yep, that all-star is going to be wearing silver and black. Jakob Poeltl, and a protected first-round draft pick down the road. I believe it's like 2019. So that is it. That is the deal. And I'm sure as we're recording this, other new intricacies and insights into the deal will probably pop up. But that is the gist of it. So, yeah, number two is no longer be wearing silver and black. He'll be heading up north to Canada. Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast, welcome back to the show. And not only did the Spurs get rid of him out of the West, they took him out of the entire country. They sent him to Canada, Joe.
Yeah, man, it's like, you know, you really want to get rid of somebody and you don't really like them. You not only get rid of them, not from the, you just here in the States, you ship them off to Canada, the frozen tundra, the wasteland up there, man. I mean, it's a great international city, don't get me wrong, but I mean, it looks like Kawhi is more of a Cali guy, so I don't know how him and uncle are going to do with all that cold weather up there, man. Maybe some fur coats. Yep. Who knows?
Yeah. It ain't LA weather. It's going to be very chilly up north. Joe, you know, right off the bat, when I heard of the deal, and it was breaking this early this morning, my first thought was this was probably the best deal the San Antonio Spurs were going to get as of right now. There were rumblings that the Lakers, the Celtics, the Sixers were involved, but those teams cooled considering the fact that Kawhi Leonard is going to be a free agent, unrestricted as well, after next season. Right off the bat, and we'll touch on San Antonio side in a bit, but let's start off with the Toronto side of this. Joe, this is a huge risk for Toronto, considering that Kawhi Leonard has reportedly is set on heading back to Los Angeles, and he could walk after next season.
Yeah, he could walk after next season. But, you know, I had hinted on something, and I had talked about this before, even with you. If Toronto is tired of getting bounced in the playoffs, you know, making a gamble for Kawhi might be something that they were desperate enough to do, and it turns out they were. This is a big gamble, and reports are already coming out that, you know, beyond this year, Kawhi Leonard does not want to be a Raptor, so we'll just have to see how things pan out for them. But wouldn't it be interesting if, in the irony of ironies, Jeff, if we have a matchup in the finals and it's the Toronto Raptors versus the San Antonio Spurs? I mean, you couldn't call for anything better than that.
That would be tantalizing at best. But, you know, speaking on the Toronto side of it, as I mentioned, it is a huge risk for the Raptors. He could walk. He could say, I am not going to commit long term. And let's face it, the Toronto's GM, I can never pronounce his name, Majiri. I think that's his last
name. Majiri Masai.
But thank you, Majiri Masai. Thank you. Is taking an awful risk here. Not only does he give up a perennial all-star, DeMar DeRozan, a guy entering his prime, a guy who's still young and averages upwards of 20 points per game, and was basically becoming the face of the franchise in Toronto, they're also giving up a very promising young big man, 7-footer Jakob Poeltl, and of course that protected first-round draft pick in a future NBA draft, 2019. Nevertheless, that's a lot to gamble, and they're going to try, Toronto, their best to try to convince him to stay. And if you're Toronto, you continue building that team. You have Leonard. You have Lowry. You still have OG Anunoby. You still have a lot of young guys. You have Van Vliet. You have Serge Ibaka, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're going to try to convince Kawhi Leonard to ink a max deal with Toronto and stay long term, I say Toronto's job is not done.
No, Toronto still has some work and you know ahead of them, but you can't discount what Kawhi Leonard does bring to the team. You know, he brings some much needed experience, and he's, you know, quite arguably still the best two-way player in the NBA when healthy. But that's the kicker, and that's the gamble that the Toronto Raptors are playing with right now. We don't even really know how many games is he going to play for them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Now, you know, we're going to be discussing who won the deal and who didn't, but right off the bat here, I think, in my opinion, and I get it, the whole adage of, you know, whoever gets the mega star usually wins the deal. But in this situation, I think the Spurs won the deal, not necessarily because they didn't get equal value. They really got close to it, though. I'll give them that much. But Toronto, on the other hand, has to be wondering about his health. You got to be wondering about Kawhi's health moving forward. Is that right quad injury back to 100%? Can he be that MVP player he was prior to Zaza happening a couple seasons ago in the West Finals? Where's his mindset? He hasn't played basketball in nearly a year, except for 9 games. He hasn't played organized ball in quite some time. Is he going to be back in game shape? What is going to have to Toronto do with the reported Uncle Dennis and how he can be a menace with teams, as we saw with San Antonio? Joe, I get it. Toronto is getting the better player, and I got flack for it on social media, but nevertheless, I think the Spurs won the deal and Toronto came up a little short.
Yeah, I think the Spurs did win the deal. I mean, they get a star player in DeRozan, and he signed, I believe, all the way up until the 2020-21 season, which, you know, at that time he becomes an unrestricted free agent. So he's guaranteed to be with the Spurs beyond this year, which is a good investment. Not only that, but they get a younger version of Paul Gasol and Potel. So I like that. You know, they have a legitimate big man, a 7-foot center, and he's young. He's in his prime. So you can't argue with that deal. And they get a protected first-round pick. Yeah. I mean, that's just nothing but sweetness right there for the Spurs and their future. So I like what I'm seeing right now. I think that's going to translate to the Spurs once again becoming a 50-win team. So I'm looking forward to this season.
Yeah, exactly. Look, Kawhi Leonard is averaging for his career, 9 seasons in San Antonio, 16.5 points per game, 2.3 points. Last season he averaged 16.2 points per game, 2.3 assists per game, two steals per game. Shot 31% from the field. That's in 9 games. So, yeah, you project that out to an 82-game season with Toronto. Maybe those are going to spike. But nevertheless, you also have the fact that Toronto now has to deal with a guy who, as I mentioned before, wants to go to L.A. And, again, that's another big risk and another notch on the Spurs belt of why they won the deal. Look, it's still a fantastic trade by Toronto. They're getting perhaps one of the top 5, top 3 players in the NBA, a 2-time Defensive Player of the Year. We'll talk about that in a moment. And a guy who is pretty much in his prime right now. But, you know, the Spurs, you forget that this is a team that is not only rebuilding on the fly and they're rebuilding light, they still have LaMarcus Aldridge. They got DeJounte Murray still. They bring back Rudy Gay. They going to have, hopefully, a good backup point guard in Derek White. They are still going to be one of the teams in the West. And let's not forget this, too. There's more pressure on Toronto now that they're playing in a weaker conference with Kawhi Leonard. And should they get bounced again out of the playoffs and not break into the East Finals, especially after making this move, it's going to be, it looked like a like egg on their face as well. I think there's just more pressure on Toronto.
Yeah, there is a lot of pressure on Toronto, especially with this move that they made, getting rid of their, you know, star player, the face of the franchise in DeRozan. The fans and even DeRozan were heartbroken. He went to Twitter and he put, be told one thing and then out come another. Can't trust him. Ain't no loyalty in this game. Sell you out quick for a little bit of nothing. Soon you'll understand. Don't disturb. So that sounds like somebody who's was taken by surprise, a little bit jaded. But In the game of basketball, it's a business. So unfortunately, the young man's got to understand this is a business and no one is safe. You know, you can be traded to any team at any time if the price is right. You know, so unfortunately, this was the best deal for the San Antonio Spurs. And in the long run of things, I think DeRozan will fit in nicely with the Spurs. Not to mention that him and Rudy Gay are friends because they once played together on the same team in Toronto. You know, Rudy Gay used to be a Raptor, so I think he'll have some nice tips and bring along DeRozan in the Spurs system. So it's kind of like reuniting with an old friend. So unfortunately, you know, we have to say goodbye to Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard, but at this point, I think it was time to move on from both of them.
Yeah, and then focusing again on the beginning topic right now, looking from the Toronto perspective.
Yeah,
look, yeah, they did well, in my opinion, in the sense that they were able to keep OG on a newbie. I think that was a big coup for them. They were able to, you know, keep Pascal Siakam. I think that was good. They kept their best player, Kyle Lowry. And look, that protected first round pick is good for the Spurs, but it's not great. So, you know, yeah, I'm still leaning on the fact that the Spurs won the trade in the sense of not necessarily because of the apparent assets, you know, who exchanged, who's switching teams and whatnot, but the overall aspect of it, of getting rid of a guy who was bringing the Spurs look, if you will, down. I mean, how many times did you hear about this prior to Kawhi getting traded? Man. What's going on in San Antonio? You know, another player wants out. First it was LaMarcus Aldridge. Now it's Kawhi Leonard. You don't hear this stuff from Kawhi, from the San Antonio Spurs. Then, you know, it was just looking a bad look on the Spurs' face right now, having that type of disgruntled player on their roster. I get it. DeMar DeRozan is not a top 10 player, but he is an all-star. He won the Eastern Conference Player of the Week last season multiple times. He won the Eastern Conference Player of the Month in January. He posted some phenomenal numbers. We'll talk about in a bit with Toronto last season. He's coming into his own. I'm not sitting here saying he's going to be an MVP, but the Spurs did the best that they can do. As I mentioned, they have Rudy Gay. They brought back Marco Bellinelli, who had a pretty good season last year with the Sixers. And despite the fact that he looks very old, he's still kind of young still. He's just in his early 30s. So, yes, DeRozan has his flaws, but this guy is offense, something the Spurs desperately needed, especially last year, Joe.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I love the offense that he brings to the Spurs, especially to the Spurs game itself. It's stagnant. You know, their offense was stagnant. Now you have a player who's dynamic in DeMar DeRozan. The only thing that is questionable with DeMar DeRozan is his defense, but again, coming over here and working with Coach Pop, I'm sure that he'll only get better here on out. But he does have a couple of seasons to fix all these things with the San Antonio Spurs. But I also like Potelli as well, that we're getting him, because he brings something that the Spurs need. They needed a legitimate center. We really didn't have anybody. And me and you had even talked about it. Who are they going to have to back up Paul Gasol? Well, now we know. You know, we have somebody who can back up Paul Gasol and possibly even play more minutes than Paul Gasol, because let's face it, Paul Gasol is only getting older and he's kind of a liability out there on defense. You can't really have him in there in crunch time because his defense is questionable and he's never been a power post-up player. As we know, he's more of a finesse player. So it'd be interesting to see what this young guy, you know, Patel can bring to the team this season. I'm looking forward to seeing the front unit, the starting five, come out and see what they really can bring to the game. I mean, they're going to take a little bit of time to gel, but you got to be excited about the future, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Look, you look everywhere across the internet, social media, you know, obviously the people are going to be thinking that the Raptors won the deal, and rightfully so, I get it. But from a Spurs perspective and from the standpoint from San Antonio looking, it's not, like I said, it's not about the X's and O's. It's not about who's changing uniforms. It's everything involved. This was an issue that the Spurs had to get rid of. Kawhi Leonard, This was an issue that was haunting the Spurs all season long and in this offseason, Kawhi Leonard and his camp and Uncle Dennis. This was a situation where it was looking bad for the Spurs. You can't tell me that other players, potential free agents, are looking at San Antonio saying, what happened? Last year, a couple seasons ago, it was LaMarcus Aldridge, now Kawhi Leonard? Look, getting rid of the problem was a big in my point. I did not want to see this linger on to the preseason, training camp, beginning of the season. That would have been very awkward for Kawhi Leonard, the Spurs, and any teammates that were, you know, still with him last year, namely a guy like Manu Ginobili. We don't know if he's going to come back or not. Of course, there's LaMarcus Aldridge. It also removes that constant tension, questioning for San Antonio from media, such as, where is he? Where is he? What's going to happen? What do you know? What's the latest? That's gone now. So this is just a chance for everybody to breathe now and move forward. The Spurs proved last year they can win without Kawhi Leonard and did a really good job. Now you're going to insert DeMar DeRozan. I think it's going to be fine. But so it sounds like we're obviously talking about the Spurs side of it, Joe. Let me kick us off. As I mentioned right now, just to repeat, they proved that they can win without Kawhi Leonard last year. Now they're bringing in DeRozan. They're bringing in Jakob Poeltl. I think the Spurs team is still going to be okay next season.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, we haven't even mentioned if Jaren Blossom game is going to make the squad or not. I mean, he's very interesting and somebody that you need to keep an eye on because he had a great summer league, you know. And not only him, but you got a Derek White. You know, you got a Lonnie Walker. And you also have Chizé Metui or Metu. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to say his name.
Yeah, Chimezie Metu.
Metu. So there's a lot of young players that the Spurs have right now that could possibly make the team. And I think that's just going to make them better because the Spurs needed to get younger and more athletic to keep up with teams in the West, such as the Golden State Warriors, the Houston Rockets, you know, even the Denver Nuggets. They had issues with them as well. And, you know, it's in today's NBA, it's all about offense. It's about just getting buckets and spades, you know, just scoring. It seems like, you know, defense kind of takes a back seat at times. And the Spurs, they're a great defensive team. They just needed some punch to their offense. And I think with Danny Green leaving, with Kawhi leaving, this opens the door to see what these younger players actually can bring and what they have. So once again, I think it's a great move for the San Antonio Spurs. And as you stated, I believe they are the winners in this trade.
Yeah, exactly. Now, of course, we're looking at the San Antonio angle of this. And by the way, we are joined by Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. Another aspect of this and why the Spurs should be elated is he's in the East now.
Yeah,
him not going to L.A. Didn't create another mega team with perhaps LeBron James and Kawhi teaming up. Is there a chance that could still happen? Yeah, if he walks from Toronto next season, but at least for one season, they were able to delay it. There's also a chance that they're also now the fact that they don't have to worry about him 3 to 4 times a year. They don't got to worry about him twice and only once in the AT&T Center, where fans are probably going to circle that game the moment the NBA regular season schedule comes out. There's also that fact as well. Look, there's a guy, Kawhi Leonard, who, you know, he's X amount of seasons with San Antonio, 9, and he has that corporate knowledge. He's aware of it. So having him not on the court versus San Antonio less than often bodes well for San Antonio. It's bad enough that the Warriors have a mega team now with DeMarcus Cousins. It's bad enough that Houston has their mega team with Paul and James Harden. Who knows what's going to happen to Capella? But the last thing the Spurs needed was to see him get traded to the Lakers. And yeah, maybe the Lakers could have provided a little more youthful talent. Nevertheless, that avoids another top team in the West that the Spurs, let's face it, are going to have to really, really bring their A game if they want to make the postseason. The last thing they needed is another headache on their hands.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, well said. The only thing is that, you know, with these teams in the West, they're very stacked. You know, they have a plethora of talent. You know, LA now is going to be back to showtime with LeBron James. You know, the Warriors just are only getting better. So, you know, the Houston Rockets are still a potent offense to deal with. And then you have the lowly Spurs, You know, they're just kind of the little train that keeps on moving, you know, quietly, methodically, just keep on cranking it out year in and year out. So I'm looking forward to more of the same thing from them. You know, they're probably going to just be one of these dark horse teams, the San Antonio Spurs. And, you know, they could go as high, I think, as maybe the third or fourth seed. You know, we'll just see what happens with this young core, this young unit that they're going to have out there in the court. But you have anchors. You know, you have a Rudy Gay who's returning. You do have a LaMarcus Aldridge. You know, that these are veterans that you have. You have Marco Bellinelli. You have Patty Mills. Yeah. So there's still a lot of great things that I think we're going to be able to see out of this Spurs team. The only one thing that we have not heard from or haven't heard of yet, what's going to happen with Manu Ginobili? It's already past the deadline from last year when he said, I'm going to come back and play. He's out there having fun. He was in Seattle yesterday. Looks like he was out there with the family.
Yeah.
We just need to find out, Manu, what's going on? Uno mas, Manu. We need him back. You know, I can't see going to a game, Jeff, and looking down at the court without Manu Ginobili. We already lost Tony Parker. You know, I mean, it's just gonna be weird, man.
Yeah, you know, obviously Manu Ginobili and his future in San Antonio will be the next shoe to drop, whether he stays or he retires. But just for argument's sake, let's just say he stays a Spur. I think the Spurs will be okay. But still, shifting back to the San Antonio side of this, look, the Spurs, they were pretty much in a situation where they had to make a move. They did. And they got the best move possible. Now, there are some not negatives to this. Obviously, you know, there's no true winner in any deal. Losing Danny Green, I think, Joe, hurts a lot. Not because of his offense, and I get it. A lot of Spurs fans were really upset at his offense. But this guy was a really good chase-down guy, blocker. He was a good defender. He picked up an all-NBA defensive team, not, I think, second team a few seasons ago. I think losing Danny Green coupled with losing Kawhi Leonard hurts in the sense of their defense took a major hit, Joe.
I think their defense did take a hit, but as far as it being really major, well, only time will tell. We'll have to see what happens this season. But you got to admit, though, Jeff, I mean, it was time to move on from Danny Green. I mean, he was a great defender, but he was a liability on offense because he wasn't consistent. He had his moments. You know, he would pick and choose his moments. He had some games where he had a 20-plus point game. Then you had other games where he was like 2 points. I mean, it was either the old Danny Green or you get this Danny Green whose shot just has kind of taken a dive. You know, he just wasn't the same on the offensive end. He was doing great on defense. But the Spurs, they need an offensive punch. And unfortunately, Danny Green wasn't doing that consistently. I believe if we look at stats, I believe Patty Mills outperformed Danny Green. And that's saying something because Patty Mills, too, is one of these players where, you know, he's not a fan favorite here in San Antonio because they're like, well, we overpaid for him and Patty Mills isn't as good a shooter as Danny Green. I think I'd beg to differ. If you look at the stats, more than likely, I think Patty Mills was a better shooter than Danny Green, except that Patty Mills isn't a great defender. So you're going to lose something, no doubt, but we don't know to what extent we're going to be losing that defensive presence until the season actually starts. But I think it was time, man. I kind of like the move. We needed to get rid of Danny Green. I would have much rather get rid of Paul Gasol because you know how I feel about him, but
I know
no team will take on that contract.
Yeah, exactly. And look, you know, losing Danny Green, in my opinion, I think that stings a little bit more. We don't know what or if Lonnie Walker will be a good perimeter defender. We know Bellinelli doesn't have the reputation of being a great defender as well, though he did improve in his time in San Antonio in his first stint. And of course, you know, Derek White, DeJounte Murray, who is a phenomenal defender on the perimeter. So we'll see how the Spurs address that as this offseason moves in. Now, circling back to Danny Green, though, look, in 8 seasons with San Antonio, you know, he leaves his mark on the franchise. He ranks second on the Spurs all-time three-pointers made list. Is seventh in Spurs history in blocks at 450. He's among all-time NBA players in three-point field goal percentage at 43%. And let's not forget, he helped the Spurs win a title in 2014 and had one of the most impressive three-point shooting displays in the 2013 NBA Finals, where he knocked down 27 grand total three-pointers in the 13 finals. But the Spurs pride themselves on defense, losing Danny Green, and of course, Kawhi Leonard will have to be addressed moving forward. Joe, continuing on from the San Antonio Spurs' view of this and whether they, you know, it's a pro or a con or something like that, another pro in my eyes is this, is that, hey, it's a fresh start for the franchise. You know, we can move on now. I'm sorry, the San Antonio can move on now. They can breathe now. They don't have to be worrying about things anymore. They can continue with their rebuild on the fly without having Kawhi hold them back. They got it done sooner rather than later. And, hey, although it's going to be hard to say goodbye, at least for a very few San Antonio Spurs fans, this is what the Spurs needed to do to become a better team in the long run.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, like I keep coming back to, it was time. And there's one thing that I always have. There's this saying, never get attached to players, because it's a business. And no matter how you feel about a player or how attached you get to them, they can always be traded at any time. And case in point, we saw now what happened with Danny Green. You know, sad to see him go, but you know, it's time to move on. So Spurs fans, you can't look in the past. You got to look in the future. You got to live in the now. You got to live in the present day and support the team. And let's just get behind them and look forward to a great season.
I hope so, Joe. I hope you're right. Now, again, as far as the numbers are concerned, that being the X's and O's, let's start off with DeMar DeRozan. He had one of his better seasons last year in Toronto. DeRozan had recorded a playoff career high 12 assists versus Washington, so he did really well. I know there's a lot of knock on him for not stepping up in the postseason, but he did show some signs of improvement in that area last year. He led the NBA in charge drawn, 37, so maybe he can play a little defense. And he had, in the postseason, 7 career playoff double-doubles. And I think, you know, as much as people may bag on him for his lack of postseason presence, I think playing with the Spurs system will help move him forward in that direction. Spurs have a ability to get the best out of their players, not only on the offensive end, but also on the defensive end as well, as Bellinelli, as I mentioned. Continuing on with DeMar DeRozan, look, as I mentioned earlier, he was selected as the Eastern Conference Player of the Week 5 times last year. He was also given the Player of the Month nod in the East in January. And let's just put it this way. In January alone last year, he led the Eastern Conference over a guy like LeBron James with 25 points per game. And during that month, he posted his highest assist average at 5.9. That was the highest for any month in his NBA career. He is a multiple all-time all-star player, I'm sorry. And he was selected as a starter for the Eastern Conference All-Star squad last year in LA. Last season, he scored a game-high 42 points versus the Warriors. You know, there's no doubt, Joe, that he can get it done on the offensive end. So we got that in droves. Are you feeling better now on the offensive end, now with DeRozan in the fold, Joe?
Yeah, I am. You know, I like DeRozan. He's a great player. It's just like I said, he's just a little questionable on the defensive end. But in the Spurs system, coached by none other than Greg Popovich, those little things can be corrected. You know, and another thing I think a lot of fans overlook is DeRozan's a 4-time NBA All-Star. I believe Kawhi is a 2-time NBA All-Star. So, you know, the fans do vote, yes, but, you know, also the coaches have something to say about that. So that means that they believe that DeMar DeRozan is a great player, you know, being named to the NBA All-Star game at least 4 times. So I think there's a lot of things that we can take away from this trade and look at and say, the Spurs are moving in a positive direction. You know, a lot of fans might say, oh, I don't like DeRozan. I just hate him. I just don't like him because he, you know, he folds in these tough situations. He can't take
the pressure when it comes to these games, you know, these pivotal games, that stigma has to be dispelled. You know, we just got to believe in this player, believe in the system, and you know what? Things can change. So look forward to this next season with optimism. That's all I'm saying. It's not going to be like the Spurs are going to be guaranteed a trip to the finals. No, let's just be optimistic and look at what we have right now in front of us and just support the team and let it be fun. You know, I'm going to be able to enjoy the game again because we don't have all this Kawhi Leonard drama anymore. It's like breaking up with the girlfriend. You know, you're in a bad relationship that's just filled with drama. And once that's just done, you just feel this weight lifted off of you. I think that's where we're at right now here in San Antonio.
Yeah, it was getting to the point where fans were already saying, let's just get this over with. And it looks like that has happened. But Joe, you are really good with the pulse of the fans. Why don't you talk to us about how fans are reacting on social media?
Oh, man. Some fans are happy. Some fans, like my friend Rudy Campos Jr., he said he couldn't wait to get rid of the fake number two. Then you have the other fans that, for the most part, are saying, we're glad that this is over with. You know, they have nothing but good things to say about Kawhi Leonard as far as his future. You know, they wish him the best. And then you have the other fans that can't wait to see the Spurs and the Toronto Raptors go at it so they can go out there and throw chanclas at him and boo him. I'm just like, okay, guys, that's enough of that already. Or, you know, let's introduce Kawhi Leonard, and instead of saying his name, we'll just have a big fart noise come over the PA system. I mean, but I mean, for the most part, I think the fans are more heartbroken about losing Danny Green than they were Kawhi Leonard, because Danny Green was, you know, instrumental in the Spurs championship runs. They had this, you know, they had formed this bond with Danny Green, and I get it. You know, these are, you like the player, you like who he is, you know, like what he stands for, what he does for the community. I get all that, but you know, let's be honest here. It's time to move on. So Spurs fans, I think they're going to be looking forward, you know, to this upcoming season, and they really don't know what they're going to expect. I think they're kind of excited and heartbroken at the same time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it has been one of those weird off-season / regular season / postseason that Spurs fans have dealt with. And I mean, I mentioned myself, too, in the media, having to see it unfold before my eyes, up close and personal, game in and game out, behind the scenes in the locker room. It just felt weird. Nevertheless, though, with this deal, one of the things I think the Spurs should do, especially the brass coach Pop I'm looking at, is this. There's reports out there that DeRozan is not backing off the claim that he was lied to by Toronto and that he's very upset being dealt from the Raptors to San Antonio. If I'm Pop, I'm going up to him right away and taking him out to dinner and letting him know the Spurs' plan, making him feel at ease, because we don't want to start off with DeMar DeRozan on the wrong foot. If he's coming in disgruntled, not anything against the Spurs, but against the Raptors, and maybe not coming in with his full energy, his full heart, you know, that's a process. So I think that's one of the first things Pop has to do with DeRozan. Joe?
Yeah, the Spurs need to welcome him in with open arms, of course. You know, it hurts. You know, when you've given that much to a team, you've given them your heart, your soul, and the fans got behind you. I mean, you formed this bond, this relationship, and moving on to a new city, you know, and a new team, and you don't really know anything about San Antonio other than, yeah, we played here a couple of times. It's a change. But, you know, to grow as a person, sometimes you got to kind of step outside that comfort zone. And I think that's what DeMar DeRozan is going to do over here in San Antonio. And I believe with, you know, the fans getting behind him, the coaching staff and the players are going to welcome him in with open arms. Maybe take him to dinner. Maybe, you know, show him around town. Show him what makes San Antonio so unique and what makes the fan base here so great. I think once he is here and he gets in, you know, gets a little taste of San Antonio, the atmosphere, the sights, the sounds of the city and the people, he's going to fall in love with the city.
Got to agree with you there, Joe. Now, on the other and the other side too is this. I think patience is going to be in order for DeMar DeRozan and from Spurs fans and even from the coaching staff. But what I mean by that is this. Stop me if you heard this before, Joe, but it takes a while to learn the Spurs system. It really does. Look what LaMarcus Aldridge went through in his first couple seasons as a Spur. He couldn't figure his way in. He couldn't figure out his place in it, and he demanded a trade. Learning the Spurs system is a chore, and initially there's going to be a lot of growing pains. My first thing as well, from the coaching staff's point of view, San Antonio's that is to bring him along slowly, you know, have the team, the players that have been there for a while, hopefully Manu is there, but, you know, Murray and LaMarcus, to relate to what he's about to go through. So learning that Spurs system is going to be a task. I think patience is in order from everybody in San Antonio, from fans to the coaching staff to the players. Joe?
Yeah, I agree with you. But, you know, DeMar DeRozan couldn't ask for a better mentor and a teacher than Rudy Gay. This is his former teammate, you know, so they have a relationship, and these guys understand one another. And Rudy Gay, he's flourished here in the Spurs system. You know, I was quite surprised by that. He came in here, and it's like he didn't miss a beat. He got better. So
yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sure he can just preach to DeMar DeRozan, you know, and just say, look, you got to be patient. You got to trust the system. You got to trust in Coach Pop. But the payoff is well worth it. So I think he has a good mentor and a good friend in Rudy Gay, and he's going to bring him along quite nicely.
Yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge as well. I think he might be the one really to try to relate to him if DeMar DeRozan is having issues adjusting to his new team, his new digs, his new teammate, his new system. So there's that as well. Joe, talk to us about Jakob Poeltl. Who is this guy? You know, obviously, you know, he's a big man. He's out of Australia. You know, him and Patty Mills are going to get along famously. But he's a young, promising big. And just addressed about being the Spurs having a big now. Because now they have some size, finally.
Yeah. Surprisingly, they have a 7-footer, you know. So I like it. You know, I like his game. I mean, his points per game, I think he was averaging in the 2017-28 season, was somewhere along the lines of 6.9 points per game. Rebounds per game, he was averaging 4.8, you know. So he has the ability to go out there and, you know, given minutes, he can produce. You know, and I like it. I like the fact that he brings this youthful energy to the team. I'm sure it's going to be a change for him as well, coming from a Toronto Raptors team and then coming over to the Spurs. The Spurs are more defensive-minded team than the Toronto Raptors ever would be. So he's going to have to make adjustments too. But there's a lot to take away from this young center. I mean, you have a lot of things that you get to look at. And this guy, because for one, he's younger than Paul Gasol, so that's always a plus. He's not going to play jazz hands defense. He has more lateral quickness than Paul Gasol. He can jump a little bit better than Paul Gasol, so he's going to be able to go up there and get those rebounds, which the Spurs need in crunch time, especially in offensive, crashing the offensive boards. So he does a lot of little things out there. He might not be the flashiest player out there, you know, or the most athletic, but you can count on him to get those rebounds, to get after the ball, you know, to go and maybe get you those 50-50 balls. And also we have somebody who can help, you know, as far as the rim, protect the rim. We have a rim protector. Yeah. I mean, we were missing that sorely last season. So I think there's a lot of good things in this young man's game. And yes, he's raw. He needs some work. But I think he's going to flourish here in the Spurs system because the Spurs, as you know, Jeff, they can get these diamonds in the rough and they can just crank out somebody that's going to shine. And I think that's what's going to happen with Poeltl here.
Yeah, you know, Jakob Poeltl, he was the only Raptor to appear in all 82 games last season for their team. So he's very durable. We see that. He's very young, too. He was drafted by Toronto, and he's been playing in this NBA, going into his third season now. Now, for the Raptors, he paced their bench with 17 points and tied a career high with 8 field goals versus Cleveland last year. Now, how about this for irony, Joe? His best game as a Raptor came against the Spurs last season, where he finished with 12 points and had a career high 14 rebounds. Not only at Golden State, but he also recorded his first career double-double with 10 points and a then-career-best 12 rebounds in October at San Antonio. He's also scored a career-high 14 points versus Philadelphia last year. He's a very promising young big. He's highly skilled. He's athletic, something that Pau Gasol isn't. But nevertheless, look, he has upside, Joe, and I think the Spurs couldn't do any worse than that. I mean, yeah, they could have gotten an Anunoby or Siakam, but getting Poeltl, I think that is it's a plus. Look, he wasn't a great first-round pick for Toronto, but nevertheless, the Spurs still address the lack of size. Now they'll have LaMarcus Aldridge, Dante Cunningham, Pau Gasol, and now Jakob Poeltl.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, when you think about it, about a week ago, where were we? You know, we had a lot of questions. What's going to happen with this, you know, in the middle? Basically, you're lacking size. You don't really have anybody. And now all of a sudden, fast forward to this week, we have a Dante Cunningham and Poeltl, you know? So you couldn't ask for anything better for the San Antonio Spurs. I think, you know, they're savvy in the way that they run their front office. And this was the best possible trade that they could get for this version of Kawhi Leonard. You know, let's be honest, Spurs fans, everybody wanted him gone. But at the end of the day, you have to make a trade that makes sense. You cannot be trading a Kawhi Leonard and not getting a superstar in return. You know, they got something comparable, maybe not as great as Kawhi Leonard, but we got two players and then a possible pick if it goes 1 through 19 in the first round of the 2019 draft. So I think the Spurs made out pretty good considering all things, you know. And you know, the Toronto Raptors are taking a big gamble on Kawhi Leonard, so you know, you have to take that in consideration too. All things considered, at the end of the day, I think this was a good move for the San Antonio Spurs.
I agree with you, Joe. Joe, when you look back at this era in the Spurs history, what are you going to remember most about Kawhi Leonard? Will it be what happened this past season? Or you take a step further and realize that Spurs had themselves one of the best players ever to lace up a pair of sneakers and play on the NBA hardwood?
I think we had a great player in Kawhi Leonard. You know, I'm almost going to remember him hoisting up the MVP, the 2014 Finals MVP trophy, having a great time up there with Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, his teammates getting him to smile and come out of his shell a little bit. I'm always going to remember that. I don't want to remember what happened this past season. That was a total debacle, debauchery. You can't say enough about what happened last season. But, you know, that just goes to show you how quickly someone can change in just a span of a couple of years. So it is what it is on that end. But I always remember Kawhi as an NBA champ.
For me, I think this past season tainted his stay in San Antonio. I think a lot of Spurs fans and, you know, especially the franchise, Popovich and Buford, were like looking at him to be the next mainstay, the next big franchise player. And although he was that for a while, you know, I always had my doubts whether he can lead a team single-handedly to the NBA crown. In 2014, he still had a serviceable Tony Parker, a serviceable Tim Duncan, a serviceable Manu Ginobili. But I always felt, can he by himself take a Spurs squad to the promised land? And I always had some doubts about that because he wasn't vocal, because he wasn't that type of in-your-face, you know, leader that the Spurs team desperately needs. So for as much as he did for the Spurs and his time in San Antonio, I think this last chapter in his career with San Antonio tainted everything. Sure, he became a two-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year. Yes, he was an all-star. Yes, he won Defensive Player of the Year, as I mentioned, and was looked at as an MVP candidate. And he was right there before Zaza happened. But the way he behaved off the court this past season, the way he handled himself, and yes, I'm not sitting here saying the Spurs are blameless, because they're not. They handled it just as bad. But we've said it before, Joe. You've said it before. Fans have said it before. He could have squashed all of this and handled this like a professional, and said something, but he never did. Even if he wanted to leave the Spurs, and even if that's was his desire, he could have still came out and said, I want out. And I'm going to let you know now. I don't want this to cast a shadow on the Spurs season. Look, I'm going to be out. I am hurt, but I legitimately want to leave San Antonio. Fine. Fine. But he didn't do it that way. So in my view of Kawhi Leonard, it's now tainted. It's now, you know, a player that I'm glad is gone. I don't think the Spurs system needs this. I don't think the Spurs franchise needs this type of player. You know, check your ego at the door. How many times you heard that from the Spurs and Popovich? And I would say we didn't. We didn't check it as much as he maybe needed to before he left San Antonio and got traded. So, Joe, I'm going to take the opposite. I think my view on him, unlike yours, is that it's scarred. It's messed up. It's tarnished. And I wish he would have handled it differently, again, even if he wanted to leave, but it just didn't go down that way, Joe.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, mistakes were made on both ends. But in the grand scheme of things, it's just a minor drop in this big universe that we all share together. So you know what? We're dispelling the bad energy, that bad juju that Kawhi Leonard brought to the team this last season. And now we're looking forward to this upcoming season with a renewed energy, a renewed vigor. And we're moving in a positive direction. So, thank you for your time here, Kawhi Leonard. But it was time for you to go. Danny Green, appreciate everything he's done for the Spurs as well. But unfortunately, it's a business. And it was time for you to go as well. So I'm still going to follow Danny Green. You know, I might not have liked a lot of things that he did for the Spurs team, but it didn't mean that I didn't like the individual. Now, Kawhi's a different story. You know, I'll cheer for Danny. I don't think I'm going to be cheering for Kawhi.
Joe, final take.
Final take. Let's look forward to this season, Spurs fans. Keep an open mind. Be patient. You might not see results right away, but believe me, the Spurs know what they're doing. So you just got to give it time. It might not happen this season, but next season, things could come together and the Spurs could make another championship run. If they do it this season, it would be a big surprise to me. But let's look at it this way. The Spurs can do no worse than they did last season. So again, keep an open mind, cheer for the team. And go Spurs, go.
My final take is this. Thank God it's over. That's my first reaction. Thank God it's over. This needed to be done. And as much as I was on record saying that the Spurs will likely still have him on the roster heading into the next season, simply because I felt that they were going to take their time, not rush anything, this was probably the best deal they were going to get right now. They now don't have to run the risk of him walking for nothing. They now don't have to run the risk of maybe paying him the richest contract in franchise history. And then after he nets it, then he demands a trade already. And he starts pulling that stunt after next season, should he had signed that Supermax deal. I also like the fact that the Spurs are going to be okay. They got themselves a great player. Not maybe a top 10 player, but a really, really, really good player that can help the Spurs on the offensive end, that can help the Spurs he can create his own shot and just ease up the scoring load on a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge. Let's face it. LMA had a lot of overtime in the paint, punching his time card and getting buckets for San Antonio. Now he doesn't have to worry about that anymore. He has a guy who can put up 20 points per game, as he's proven in Toronto, that being DeMar DeRozan. Overall, I know a lot of outlets and fans and maybe you, Joe, probably feel that maybe this wasn't the greatest trade, but I still think the Spurs are going to be looking well. And we'll finally see whether or not Kawhi Leonard really is that system player now that he'll be working with Toronto next year. So that'll be good to say. But those are our thoughts on Kawhi Leonard, the blockbuster deal that went down earlier today. You can email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at @JeffGSpursZone. And you always hear me say Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. So for those of y'all who are wondering, what is Two Shots Podcast? Joe's going to talk to you about that.
Yeah, Two Shots Podcast is just a weekly podcast that we like to talk about local sports, news, and entertainment. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Two Shots, which is spelled out T-W-O-S-H-O-T-S. podcast. And again, look for us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and also on the World Wide Web at twoshotssa.com.
And again, don't forget to check out Two Shots Podcast, because Joe will probably have a show on this exact same topic and giving you different angles and aspects that we didn't cover here. So for Joe Garcia, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.